Okay, everybody gather round. It's time for the big pen. Hold down. Kick out your heels. Jump up and down. Shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand, and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big pen, hold down. Gotta have a collar you can trust.
Not a pig.
All right, time for the pig pen. And this is brought to you by
Online Trading Academy and American Leak Detection.
Mm-hmm. So over the brief vacation that we had, I got caught up on some of my cable shows, Stranger Things and the whatever the thing on HBO. And the Netflix.
What thing on HBO?
Whatever. That thing with
Big Little Lies.
Yeah, Big Little Lies with the Monterey 6 or whatever.
Five.
And so Netflix just released the new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. You guys are familiar with this,
correct? Jerry Seinfeld vehicle, which is, it used to be just an internet-only thing, mm-hmm. and it turned out that Netflix wanted a piece of it, bought it. Have you seen this at all?
Yeah.
So he gets these comedians, you know, some known, some mm-hmm. obviously better than others.
Yeah.
Gets them in cars, gets them in coffee shops, and they just talk shop. Great concept.
It's a wonderful concept. They're each one average about 15 minutes, so it's a minimal investment. You can roll through two or three of them, or if you got, you know, 15 minutes to kill, it's a great little time killer, and they're all great. He's a little smug, but his subjects are usually really on point and really, really funny, and you learn something about them that maybe you didn't already know. And Jerry's a good conversationalist and mm-hmm. kind of knows how to bring out some make them comfortable, very much like you are with certain, you know, people when you interview them. But man, I was fascinated because the first one, the lead off, was Eddie Murphy.
Wow, I'm and surprised Eddie Murphy did this.
Well, I was shocked, but I could not wait to see this one. He had Eddie for, I believe, about 40 minutes, which is considerably longer than any of the other ones that he's ever done.
Eddie's like a hermit.
Eddie's 58 years old. He lives in Hollywood, I believe. And we haven't really heard much from Eddie. He kind of hides in animation. He's Shrek. I mean,
yeah.
He's made millions and millions and millions of dollars as part of the Shrek franchise. He hasn't done a whole lot in the last 15 years. He's done some movies, but they look like passion projects that nobody's ever really heard of. A movie called Tower Heist, a movie called A Thousand Words, but pretty much everything else has been Shrek and all those, what are those Big Mama's houses where
right.
everybody dresses in fat
Nutty
suits?
Nutty Professor.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Now, he is poised to have what I would consider a big screen leading man comeback because he's scheduled in the next year to play Dolomite, I believe. Or
they're rebooting
Dolomite, and he's playing Rudy Ray Moore.
Wow.
And then, of course, we know that Coming to America, the sequel, is coming
right.
out. And there's also Beverly Hills Cop 4, which was just announced.
Really?
That's going to happen. So those are going to be huge hits for him. But in the meantime, you think of Eddie Murphy, and you think, what's that guy been doing?
Does he go out? I'm like,
he doesn't go out. He does not go out. He's not in the public eye. He doesn't grant interviews. You remember, what was the deal when they had the Saturday Night Live reunion and they wanted him to be a part of it? Was that?
Yeah. And he
kind of like demurred and just said, you know, he was going to have a bigger role. And then
he just kind of showed up and did like a minute or two on stage and like, man, I haven't been on this stage in a long time and blah, blah, blah. And that was like it.
Yeah. I think they wanted him to do like stand up.
Yeah. Or do buckwheat or something like that.
Do one of his bits or something.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't want to do any of that stuff. So I could not wait to dig into this episode of Comedians in Cars with Jerry Seinfeld and Eddie Murphy. So I pulled some audio from this because I found that this is kind of newsworthy because the guy just doesn't talk.
Right.
At least not to our knowledge. So let's go to clip one. This is him and Jerry driving around in a badass Rolls Royce, by the way. And it's kind of like where he is in his life right now as a 58-year-old actor. Voice talent, living in Hollywood, and his views on life and where he is kind of psychologically in the moment.
I never thought I would live in California.
Really?
Because you had a place in Jersey.
Yeah, for years. I don't dislike it out here, but I never thought I would live out here.
And how's it going?
I'm cool with it. I like it. I won't be missing stuff. It's kind of like, you know, whatever's in front of me. You know?
Right.
I'll do a lot of pining for the old days and the old days and that stuff.
That's pretty...
Well, what happened? It's kind of like...
That's very good. A lot of people put a lot of work into trying to get to that place.
Right now is the best it's ever been, and it only gets better.
So he seems to be really at peace with where he is in his life. And
I love hearing that from those people.
I do too.
Like, I don't really... what I did was what I did.
Yeah.
And now tomorrow is tomorrow. Like,
it's like he's not allowing Raw and Delirious and Beverly Hills Cop to define him.
Yeah.
And pining for, man, I wish things were the way they used to be when I was super famous. He's just enjoying his life. But in the same breath, Jerry asks him what his, if he had any regrets. And he talks about how his biggest regret was giving up stand-up. And he talks about it here.
I told you that's my biggest regret is stopping. Like, I used to just go and do it.
Right.
Stopping and letting that muscle atrophy.
Yes.
It's my only regret.
You don't like going up unless you really have something on stage. You know,
I wouldn't go out on tour without an act.
Right.
The hardest thing about getting back on stage again is when you don't have anything.
Right.
I don't have anything. That's like a scary thing. Then it got different. It got to where when I was working out stuff, it would be in the paper like the next day. They were on me too much during the creative process. I remember Joan Rivers' husband had died, and I went up at the Comedy Store and I did like some bit about him because she used to do all these jokes about Edgar. Oh, that's he had committed suicide.
Right.
I did some joke like, you got tired of all them Edgar jokes. Some I said that was, you know,
right.
It wasn't cool. And it was in the paper the next day, and everyone was outraged.
Right.
Joan was hurt, and I was like, that wasn't even a bit yet.
So he tried to kind of keep, like he talked about letting his comedy muscle develop atrophy. Like, he was trying to get out in the clubs. When he talks about working out, and he'll refer to that again in some more clips I'm about to play. He's talking about going to the clubs, grinding, trying out your new material, and seeing how it goes over.
Yeah.
So you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't, and then you develop your act. You have your show.
Right.
And he's talking about, I don't have anything, you know, and I'm not going to go out there and just kind of wing it and do stand-up unless I have a show.
Nowadays, though, it is different with those comedians, as we've seen. And like, Mike, you just saw Louis C.K., right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to put your phone away? They take your phone?
Yes, they did.
Just like, like at the Jack White show we went to.
Right.
All for it.
I am, too. That's becoming a thing now. Like, look, this is my life and my livelihood, no matter how you view it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're stealing it. If you're recording it, well, I think Eddie Murphy now, I think he would be fine trying to workshop these things wherever he went.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there'd be news Eddie Murphy was there.
That's the problem, though, is he's trying to work his stuff out, and there's reports the next day that, ooh, he made a distasteful joke about Joan Rivers' husband that recently killed himself. And did he talk about this in the episode? Those comedians don't care.
No.
It's 2 seconds. If somebody dies, it's like off limits for 2 minutes. And then anything's fair game. Nothing's taboo. And that's what makes that art form so great.
Is he so big, though, that he can't do what Louis C.K. is doing right now on this little comeback thing?
It's Eddie Murphy.
I know.
I guess he's pretty damn big, but I mean, that's sad that...
It would seem like if Louis C.K. can do it, he can
exactly,
do it.
Exactly, if he really wanted to.
But that's kind of a bummer, you know? You're trying to work out some new material, and then you got to apologize to Joan Rivers.
I know.
Which I thought's a great joke, because, dude, all she did is destroy her husband in her stand-up night after night. So the guy kills himself and is like, guess he got tired of all them Edgar jokes. I'd kill myself, too. All right, so the big question is... And it has been for me, because look, we love the movies, but dude, he is the king of stand-up, right?
Yeah.
We can all agree on that. Jerry asks him point blank, would you do it again?
You know that you not doing stand-up drives people crazy. You know that, right?
The last time I saw Don Rickles, and Rickles is like maybe a month or two before he passed away, and he just went on and on and on like that. Like, you
know, really?
But you have to just stand up again. Just went on and on about it. Like, wow. I'm going to do it again. It was
really?
Just, yeah, I just had to, you know, everything has to be right. You got to get up there and start working out.
Really? I have to get up and work. The only way you could get like an act is I got to go to the clubs and work out. I'm going to do that again.
Well, okay. There you go.
I would. Can you imagine what
that
would
sell? It's going to be a little different than, oh, I know, if he went like arena to arena.
Oh, yeah. It's AAC. Sold out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy stand-up. He had done it in, dude, 30 years.
You know, the change in tones and subject matter.
I was really surprised they didn't get into that because a lot of his jokes were hardcore about gays.
Yeah.
And misinformation about AIDS. Now, this was 1983 right, when we didn't know a lot about that, but the other F word and those acts back in the day were used as freely as the big F word.
And the way that he would talk about women, too.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, things would have to change for him.
Which they would, obviously. Yeah. Funny is funny. He's funny.
Okay, so Jerry asks him, essentially, like, what do you do? What's your day like? You know, what have you been doing with your time off? Because you don't do anything. Nobody ever sees you. So what's a normal day for Eddie Murphy like?
What do you do first thing in the morning?
I eat some prunes. Prunes and raisin bran.
Prunes and raisin bran. Well, I know what the rest of your day is like.
I'm lazy. I'd like more than anything. I like to be doing nothing with my family and my kids.
Oh, can you sit still now?
Absolutely.
Really?
That's what I do mostly.
Really?
That's what I do mostly. Doing nothing is my favorite dish. And I mean really nothing. Like don't watch the news and don't know what's going on. And
right.
Totally like disconnect.
And he talks about how, you know, he's got kind of two different generations of kids. He's got one group from one wife that I believe are all grown and out of the house and in their mid to late 20s. And then he's got younger kids that are in their teens. And he said that his house is like kid central. So there's people in and out all of the time, but they all go to the Murphy house to hang out.
Is he in Malibu?
I don't know where he is. If they did say, I wasn't paying attention and I couldn't tell based on where Jerry picked him up.
Boy, good on him for completely detaching, too, if that's true.
It made me feel better about the way I was spending my vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely detached.
And finally,
something to be said for it,
no
Corby.
Doubt.
So one final clip. They end up going back to the improv in, I guess it's in Hollywood or somewhere in Los Angeles. Maybe there's more than one.
Comedy Store or the
improv? No, it's the improv.
Okay, all right.
They are at the improv, and they're walking around and taking it in and talking about old days and memories and stuff like that. And you can tell these guys have a genuine respect and love for one another because they both came up in the same area, because he's a Jersey guy, and Jerry's from up that right. part of the country as well, and they, you know, were starting in around the same time and had worked in the same club, so they've known each other since the, you know, late 70s. So he talks to him, and they get on the subject of Bill Cosby. Now, they don't get into anything regarding all of the controversy with the women and the raping and all that stuff, but Eddie talks about how there was kind of a, it's the best way to describe this, that back in the day, it was one black guy at a time. So essentially, you had Cause, Red Fox,
Richard Pryor,
Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, and the list goes on and on. It's just kind of the way it was. Whereas white comedians could work concurrently. You had Jay Leno, Steve Martin,
right,
you know, the list goes on. But that's kind of the way it was. That's how the hierarchy was. And he talks about that when it got to him and how Richard Pryor treated him and how Bill Cosby treated him. And this, to me, was my favorite clip in the entire show.
And so when I showed up, Richard kind of had this, there was this feeling like, oh, this is the new one is. And Richard kind of felt threatened, like, oh, now. And so Richard would get weird, be like, if I found out Richard was going to be somewhere and we all went, Richard would pull up and go like, who's in there? And it would be, oh, so Eddie Murphy's on it. He would leave.
Really?
Yeah, he would be like, not want to work out in front of me. It was strange.
Oh, man.
And I just want the puppy dog. And I was just like,
yeah.
I found all this stuff out like afterwards that really he would do that. So he had a weird, I'm threatened, like there's a changing of the guards or this new thing is going to happen.
Right.
That was the weirdness with Cosby as well in the early days. He thought I was this new thing and they felt threatened by it.
Yes.
Because he did that, you know, I was like, that's one of the things that makes it, he had a weird thing with me that he didn't have with other comics. Because I've heard other people tell stories about, oh, I had this with him, and he said this to me and gave me this advice, and the stuff that he said to me was the exact opposite, that it was mean. It was like, I did this bit about somebody heckled me, and I said, shut the f*** up before I throw my wallet over there and crunch it.
Right.
And he called me up, you can't talk about how much money you have on stage. It's taken out of context. He was like, well, you know, I don't come to see people's show, and I know you like Richard. And I was like, yeah. He said, then he told me, I'm in Atlantic City this week, and you should come and see how it's supposed to be done.
Oh, man.
And you shouldn't get on the stage unless you have something to say. That's what he told me. I was like,
wow.
Yeah, he wasn't nice.
That's wow. Good to hear.
Yeah. That cause wasn't.
Yeah. Was, I can see. Think about how young Eddie Murphy was, though, when all
dude,
that hit. 19.
He broke, 19 years old when he broke on SNL,
yes.
And was doing all that stand-up stuff.
And I can see how the old guard, especially Bill Cosby, looked at that and the potty mouth of Eddie Murphy and thought, you ain't doing it the right way.
And Eddie speaks in kind of broken syntax and will change his course of thought, you know, or his line of thinking during the course of his conversation. But I think what he was trying to say is Bill Cosby was looking at him going, oh, okay, you're too much like Richard Pryor. You need to do it like this. You need to do it like me.
Yeah.
And Eddie's like, don't tell me how to work. Don't tell me how to do my job. And that Cosby was mean to him. But, man, it's a great show talking about comedians and cars getting coffee on Netflix. And if you don't watch any of the other ones, definitely watch.
That's the first one.
It's the first one. Watch the Eddie Murphy. There's a two-parter with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, nice.
It's great. They have a wonderful chemistry together, but it's a fantastic show. And normally I wouldn't bring something like this to the air, but this was newsworthy to me.
Yeah, I hadn't heard from Eddie Murphy in forever.
Yeah, we hadn't heard from him. So this was kind of groundbreaking.